If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, our text for this sermon is beginning at verse 11, and I invite you to stand as we read from God's holy word, Luke 7, verses 11 through 17, and I read in the name of our Lord Jesus. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Here ends our reading, and let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir inside each one of our hearts today, that we might be convicted of any sin or unbelief that we are holding on to, and that we might be comforted by your compassion and by your amazing power of resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This morning, the title of my message is Turning Around the Funeral Procession. We're going to see three different parts here. The funeral procession, two processions collide, and the joyful procession. First of all, the funeral procession. In this account, we hear that Jesus is going to a town called Nain, and he encounters this, or he has got a great crowd coming with him. If you can picture this, Jesus has been traveling around. He just healed the centurion's servant, and this is a day later, I believe. And he's traveling with his disciples, but it is a large crowd that is gathering and following him. And it says that as his party is coming through, he comes across another party, another procession that is outside the gate of this town. And you see, this was a funeral procession, and funerals took place outside of town. And much like we often have our cemeteries just outside of town or somewhere out in the country, it would be similar for them. And so this procession was outside of this town called Nain, and the word Nain actually means veil of beauty, and this must have been a beautiful place that they were in. But the situation was not so beautiful. You see, they were in great sorrow as this woman had lost her only son. She was in the sorrow, in the what we can think of as the valley of the shadow of death that we hear about in Psalm 23. And I know some of you have been there, facing the pain and sorrow of death. Some of you it has been very close to, either personally or for a loved one, or maybe for many loved ones. It's a real sorrow. And you know, as I think about this sorrow that they were in, I think one thing that we need to recognize as we picture the grief of this woman who just lost her child, which this should never happen, should it? I mean, no parent should ever have to watch their own child die. It's just wrong. There's something about this that is totally backwards. Even in our world that is full of death, we recognize this as a special pain. But all death hurts, and I think we need to recognize that it hurts. We need to actually accept that it hurts, so that we can grieve and mourn. You know, one trend that I see happening now is for people to have celebrations of life instead of a funeral. And I don't mean to just condemn this act, but But there can be a certain problem with this. And so I want to isolate where the potential problem is, because some will actually use this in a positive way where they will be celebrating life because they have hope of life beyond death, okay? But one of the things that happens often with these celebrations of life is I hear people saying, well, I don't want anybody to be sad at the funeral. I don't want there to be any negativity or any crying. I just want it to be all happy memories at the funeral. But you know what? Every single time somebody says that before they die, when they say, I don't want my family to be sad, guess what? The family is sad. Every time. Even when we have hope, it hurts. You know what? It is not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be true that a child would die before a parent. It's not even supposed to happen that we die at all. That's not how God made us. In fact, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, every person would have lived without fear of death. If no man had ever sinned, there would be no death in the world, and we would have all lived forever. It wasn't supposed to be like this. You know, Adam and Eve sinned, but they were also tempted by the chief liar, and we can call Satan that serpent, the prince of death, and he's got another victim here in this young man. He's also the victim of the king of terrors, death itself, as Scripture calls it. In Job 18:14, it says, he is torn from the tent in which he trusted and is brought to the king of terrors. And that's death. Death is a terrifying thing. And this mother was in a particularly bad place, because not only had she lost her only son, which, think about this, this is her future for her descendants. This is her family. But also, it says that she was a widow, which means that her husband had also died. And this is a terrible situation for a woman. Because especially in those days, and this can still be true now for a mom who stays home with the kids and the dad goes off to work, in situations like that, when the dad dies, so goes all of the income and care for the house, as he was, all of the things that he was providing, protection and income for the family. And so this woman had lost that in her husband. But, you know, in some cases, a widow can be carried along by her son if he is able to kind of step in place of his father and care for his mother. But now her only son has died as well. And so not only does she have to go through the terrible pain of losing these loved ones, but now she has to fear for tomorrow, because she doesn't know where her food is going to come from and what she's going to do to even provide for herself and any that may be in her household. She's in dire straits. And so we have this sorrowful procession coming in, feeling the terror of the king of terrors, death, and this fear coming from the prince of death, Satan himself. But another procession collides with them outside of town. The funeral procession is met with the procession of Jesus and his followers. And as Jesus encounters them, he doesn't just walk on past. I don't know how many of us maybe would have just walked on past and thought, well, there's another one, and maybe a small pain of compassion, but Jesus is so moved that he cannot continue. In fact, it says that he is moved with compassion, but really, that literally, this is like he has pain in his bowels, or another way of saying that, and that we would understand more, is he was sick to his stomach because of this. He was moved with such great compassion, and you know what? Jesus knows what it's like to lose someone. When during his life on earth, he lost his friend Lazarus. And at that account, he grew very angry and he wept. But you know, Jesus knows a lot more about pain and sadness. You know, he has been tempted in every way that we are, Hebrews tells us. He has experienced all of these troubles that we go through. And thankfully, yet he was without sin, it says. But he also ended up going on to feel the pain that we feel to the point of death on a cross. You know, Jesus sympathizes with those who hurt as he willingly came down and stepped into the hurt. You know, he knew that all of those things were going to happen. And he willingly came anyway. And he relates with the pain and hurt of this widow who lost her son. You know, we heard about the prince of death, maybe we could call Satan, but Jesus is the prince of life. And here in Luke, Luke calls him the Lord. And the Lord is the one who had compassion on this widow. Not just any person, but the Lord. And he reaches out and it says that he touches the bier, and B-I-E-R, and other translations might say it differently. They might say coffin or something like this, but it's not quite like our coffins that we have today. In fact, it might be a little bit more like a stretcher. It would be kind of an open-topped or some kind of open casket that they would have had here. And so there would be the wrapping cloths around the body, but not closed like our caskets are today. And so this procession is coming along with this stretcher of sorts, this bier, and Jesus reaches out and he puts his hand on it. And the procession stops and he speaks to this mother, comforting words. He tells her, don't cry, do not weep. You know, he even then wanted to have this woman begin to trust his words, and he wanted her to be comforted. And he is comforting you today too. Some of you come in here with some sorrows. Maybe they're old hurts from a long time ago, and maybe they're really fresh. But Jesus is talking to us today. He made sure that this story, this account, was written down for us to hear today. And he is speaking to us as well to comfort us in the midst of whatever hurt you are going through or fear of death. But notice that Jesus starts to take initiative. Nobody even asked him to come over and do this. In fact, maybe they thought it was rude that he was interrupting this procession. But he comes over to do something. You see, he continues on, and he now turns and speaks to this dead boy, or this young man. And he says to him, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man, he sat up and began to speak. Could you imagine the shock at this situation and how the weeping suddenly turned to surprise and then to joy and wonder and even fear for this situation? Who is this person who could do such a thing? It is amazing. It's something beyond what we are capable of and that any person is able to do. But I want you to notice here too that Jesus is able to do this by the authority and by the power of his words. He didn't even have to pray for this. He didn't have to even go and ask for anyone greater than himself to accomplish this. He commanded it. He said, young man, I say to you, arise. And he arose. And Jesus still has that same power in his word. And this is his word. And when he says to you, arise, or when he says to you, your sins are forgiven, or when he says to you, you have new life, you have whatever he says. He is able to create life where there is no life. He is able to create something where there is nothing. He has total authority. What an amazing thing. And so as these two processions collide, this funeral procession is changed by the procession of Jesus and his followers. And lastly, the joyful procession. This funeral procession had started out in misery and sorrow, and now as they finish the journey, it is a completely different situation. As they re-enter this city, they are now rejoicing and wondering and even in fear at the miracle that they had just witnessed. The situation had totally changed. Jesus had been moved by this woman's sorrows, and he sympathized with her needs. And think of this. He not only did a miracle, something amazing, but he actually provided for her. He provided for her son that she loved, and mothers love their sons. But not only did he provide this son that she loved, but he provided the one who would care for her in the years to come. Jesus cared about this woman and her daily needs. You know, Jesus knows your sorrow too. Maybe your life feels a little bit like a funeral procession. Maybe death is feeling a little too close to you, either in your own life or, again, in the life of people around you, the ones you love. But Jesus is coming here to meet with you today. Whatever your sorrows are, whatever your fears are, and he has compassion on you. He can sympathize with your pain, and he says to you today, do not weep. And Jesus is doing something about it too. He's not just giving you empty words, but Jesus has provided for you. This other only son did something about it. And his words have power because of his authority, but also because of what he was going to accomplish when he went to his own death. He entered death willingly to die the death that you deserve for your sins. But he also entered with all of his power and authority. And that death could not hold him, it tells us in Acts. And on the third day, he arose from the dead. And he took away the sting of death. And though we all still face physical death, the Lord now offers us spiritual and eternal resurrection. So that when that day of death comes to our bodies, we know that even though we die, we shall live. We will rise again. And even in the meantime, we had been spiritually dead, but all of us who believe in Jesus, in his powerful words, we are truly alive today in our spirits, going from dead spiritually to alive. And so we can now truly live and have no fear of that moment of death or what comes after it. We can think of these verses from 1 Corinthians 15 that look forward to the future, when all shall be fully realized. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And from 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We have hope of the resurrection because Jesus entered death for us and rose again. And by the authority and power of his words, he gives us hope of life so that we do not need to weep or to fear. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this message of good news. And I think every one of us can relate to the fears and the pains of death and troubles in this world. As we feel death creeping up on us personally, and we've watched our own loved ones die and go through this painful experience and its terrors of death. And we pray, Lord, that you would comfort us. We thank you that you care about us and that you've come near to us to walk through this with us, and that you have even gone into death willingly to defeat it. And you did win, Lord. You won the victory when you rose again. And so we rejoice and have a firm and sure hope that we too shall rise again one day on that last day. Lord, may it come quickly. Be with us now in the meantime. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you turn in?